So we're going to look at a number of things about how we can begin to live out authentic faith. And the scripture that I'm going to look at is one portion of scripture this evening. And from there, we'll, you know, take our cue. And that's from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I'm reading the New King James Version, but whatever version you've got is fine. Then it says, Matthew chapter 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Tonight, I'm going to look at three phrases in this portion of scripture. I think there are about five, but tonight I'm just going to look at three. Next week, we'll look at the other ones. The three things I want to look at in this portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 16, 24, is if anyone desires. So the first thing I want to look at there is desire. The second thing it says, the second phrase I want to look at is come after me. What does it mean to come after Christ? The third phase that phrase I'm going to be looking at tonight is deny himself. Let him deny himself. So we're looking at if anyone desires, one, to come after me, that's coming after Christ, number two, let him deny himself. Those are the three things we want to look at in this portion of scripture with regards to living out a life that is authentic, living out authentic faith. So the first thing we want to look at, as I mentioned, is desire. Jesus said something directly here. He said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after him, after me, let him deny himself. So we want to look at this word closely, desire. What does it really mean? And if at the moment we're not really desiring to come after Christ, maybe we're like, you know what? I'm so tired. I don't even feel like doing anything at all that has to do with Christ. You might not say that outwardly. But that might be where you are. And even if you desire Christ, we want to look at how do you increase your desire so that you can begin to come after Christ, not from a point of obligation, but from a point of desire. So let's look at that word desire. What does desire mean? How do we fan desire so that we can begin to go after Christ with desire? Now, I checked an online dictionary to get that definition of desire. And it says, desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing something to happen. It says a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. I'm going to give us a number of analogies here about desire. Now, I want us to just look at desire not from a biblical perspective, well, I don't want to say not from, in an everyday fashion. Let's leave aside this Bible scripture. How do you desire something? Or what does it feel to desire someone? Then we'll look at that analogy, then we'll look at a number of points here. And I remember when, you know, this was a long time ago, when I met my wife, then it got to the point that my routine every day was I would leave work and I would go over to her house where she lived with her sisters, and I'd be there almost every single day from 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. And in those days, her sisters used to, well, I got to know this after, she told me that they'll be whispering to her that, when is this chap going home? Isn't he going home? Why is he staying here so late? But obviously they didn't tell me that at that point in time. And I did that almost every day for 2 years, to the point that my friends were like, hang on, what's happened? Who's this person that you've met? We don't even see you anymore. There was something that was driving me to do that. Immediately I finished from work, I would just go home, change, I'm off to see her. Now, what was it that was causing me to do that? It was desire. that anytime I was at when I was at work doing something, walking down the street, my heart, my mind was always with her. The desire I had for her was so strong that it just almost overwhelmed it overwhelmed my life. That's why we got married eventually. So your desire is something that is obvious. It's something that you'll begin to notice yourself. Well, for some other people, desire might be in a different way. It might be that you desire a dress, for example. You've seen this dress as a woman, you've seen this dress, and it's like, man, this dress will really, really look nice on me. And when you're at home, what you're thinking about when you close your eyes is that dress that you saw at the, you know, displayed on the at the shops. When you're cooking, you're thinking about the dress. When you're doing this, I mean, it's like this dress is just what's on your mind all the time. That's desire. If you're one of those guys that, you're like a proper football fan, your desire could be that there's a match of your favorite team that's coming up in the evening and it's just 12 o'clock on a Friday and your team is playing at 7 in the evening. And at work, you're just looking at your clock, your watch. When am I going to leave work? I need to make a move on this thing. I need to go. Now that's desire that's working itself out in you. So what am I saying here? Jesus said in the scripture that if anyone desires to come after me. So desire is something that is important. What desire does to us is it motivates us. For someone who doesn't have desire, it's obvious because he's like, oh man, it's just like a real burden. It's like, when am I going to, wash the dishes? You know, you don't really have a desire to wash the dishes. So it's like, you're just trying to put it off. I was like, man, when am I going to do, that's not desire. It's like, but when it's a thing that's motivated by desire, you're always thinking about it. You can hardly wait. It's like you're looking at your watch. When can I go and do this thing? Jesus said, that's the kind of desire he wants us to have when we come after him. It is that kind of desire that brings about authentic faith. So the question now is this, you might be asking Pastor Benson, to be honest, I don't have this kind of desire when it comes to anything that has to do with Christ. Maybe sometimes I desire to know Christ more. But to be serious, it's not like very, very passionate. It's just something that, So how do we bring this desire thing about? I'll give us a couple of tips. And fair to say, it's very similar to the way desire comes about in our natural everyday life. So it's not really different. It's just that in our everyday life, it just is something that happens almost automatically because we like something. But we can apply the same principles, and I'll use that word principles, the same thing to the desire for Christ. So how do we bring desire about? I'll look at a number of things. We'll look at three things. The first one is thinking deliberately about what Christ has done for you and I. Now, the phrase I used there was thinking deliberately. So, do you know that if you meet someone and, let's say for example, you're looking to get married or something like that, and you get introduced to someone who they think might be a good match for you, so on and so forth. Do you know that even if you don't really like the person and it's just like, okay, no problem, I'll meet them anyway. Do you know that even though you're not really, in quote, really interested in a person, if you begin to see that person just, on a daily basis and talk with them every day, and when you're away from them, you begin to think about them. You begin to think about the things that they've been saying to you, the nice things they've been saying. Do you know that something will begin to happen to you? desire will begin to rise in you. So I guess this has the flip side as well, which I'll mention in a bit. So the first thing we do in order to fan up desire for Christ is to begin to think deliberately about Christ. Begin to think about the things that Christ has done in your life. Begin to think about the fact that Christ died on the cross for you. Begin to think deliberately about the fact that if Christ hadn't died and you hadn't become a believer, you'll be headed to hell eventually. Now, so if you look at John chapter 3 verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." There's a portion of scripture in Mark chapter 5, if you read verses 1 to 20. Mark chapter 5 verses 1 to 20. It tells us the story of a madman that Jesus came across. This man was demon infested, and Jesus healed him of this madness, threw the demons out of this man, and this man became well. This was a man that had been running around town naked, sleeping in the tomb, in the graveyard, cutting himself, shouting at night in agony all the time. Jesus comes along, Jesus heals him, he becomes normal. And the Bible tells us that this man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't you just stay where you are in this city and go about telling people what I've done for you." So there was something that happened to this man. He realized that, hang on, this is what Jesus has done in my life. What a blessing. So how do we fan up desire? We begin to fan up desire as we begin to deliberately think about Christ. When you're walking down the road, think about him. Think about what he's done in your life. Some people might be like, "Oh, I prayed about this thing. Jesus, God didn't." No, I'm talking about those things. Think about your salvation deliberately. Think about all the good things that have happened in your life because of Christ. As you begin to do that, something will begin to happen to you. Desire will begin to arise. So that's the first thing, thinking deliberately about Christ and the things that he has done for you. Now, the second thing we also can begin to do to move desire to begin to well up in us, if we look at Psalm 63 verse 1, it says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole soul longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God." The second thing, again, that begins to move desire to arise in us is as we express thankfulness and worship to God. It's like you're thinking about what God has done and you're just in your mind saying, "God, wow, I really thank you. Look at all the things that you've done. Look at my life. Even if nothing at all, I know that I'm going to be with you in eternity when I depart from this world." And you begin to express thankfulness as you think about the things that God has done. You begin to express that thankfulness to him. Something begins to happen to you and I. Desire begins to rise. Oftentimes, or maybe when you're in church or you're listening to praise and worship music and we're singing in church, we're lifting up our hands, we're playing instruments and all that. And at that point, you're just thinking, "God, I absolutely thank you." Something will begin to happen to your emotions as you do that. Because remember, desire comes from our emotions being stirred up. Do you get what I mean? So as we begin to express thanks and worship to God, desire begins to rise up in us for Christ. That's the second thing. Now, the third thing about how desire can arise in our hearts is as we focus our thoughts and mind on God. I think I mentioned this in passing. So if you look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said here, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." So Jesus is asking us to do something here that is in the in 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 excuse me, that's within our power to do. He says we should love God with all our hearts, all our mind, all our soul. So what that means is that you can begin to turn your love towards God. Yeah. And as you do that, desire will begin to arise. So that as you're thinking about what God has done for you, as you're just meditating on it, you know, really expressing your thanks to God, thinking about God all the time, something will begin to happen to you. Desire will begin to rise. The same way that if you're a woman and you're thinking about some dress you saw in the store, desire arises because you're always thinking about that. Or if you're thinking about a person, thinking about them is like, oh, I wish I could see this person. Desire begins to arise. Now, in the same way, using that analogy, focusing on God really brings desire to arise in our hearts. I'm telling you. Now, a number of things as well. So we're looking at living out authentic faith. So first one we've looked at is looking at Matthew 16:24, which says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So we're looking at that phrase and we're saying, looking at this portion of scripture in chunks will begin to indicate to us how we can begin to live authentically, how we can begin to live a faith that is authentic. And we said desire is one of them. Now, the second phrase in that sentence that we read is this. It's let him come after me. So we said, it says, if anyone desires to follow me, let him come after me. So the phrase we're looking at, which is the second thing, is let him come after me. So what does it mean to come after something? What does it mean to come after something? And again, I checked the dictionary. It says to chase, to try and find, and to search for. So we begin to see something here that coming after Christ is not something that one does casually. It's not something that one says, well, when I have the time, I might be able to do it, or when it occurs to me. No. So when you see that phrase, let him come after me, Christ is saying something there. Looking at the dictionary definition of coming after something, he's saying that we should search for him. We should find him. Do you get what I mean? We should search after him. We should chase after him. Well, that's what the dictionary definition means here. Which means that there is something that needs to happen from our perspective, which is we need to, you know, put in the effort deliberately to begin to seek and to search after Christ. Now, what does that mean? If you look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, it says something about Moses there. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. It says, anyone inquiring of God will go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, so on and so forth. But the point in Exodus 33:7 here is this. Moses wanted to really spend time with God. He really wanted to engage with God. What did he do? Well, he was looking after loads and loads of people, you know, over 1 million people, probably having conversations with them, people coming with all sorts of things. Same way that, you know, we have friends, we have family, there's so many things that we do on a daily basis. But Moses did something. He, in the context of this, he went after God. And how did he do it? He probably just came to a point and he said, look, I need to set time apart from my daily busy schedule. I need to set time apart deliberately. The Bible tells us that Moses went outside the camp. He left all the busyness, put all the busyness aside. He went out and pitched a tent, and that tent was for him to meet God. So what am I saying here? The second thing about beginning to come after Christ, search after Christ, is setting time apart to really spend time with God. looking, reading the Bible, the Word of God, and praying with our hearts. Now, I must put a thing there, a PS there, about when I say spending time reading the Word of God and praying. You know, there's so many ways we can read the Bible, and there's so many ways we can pray. But what I'm talking about here is looking at the Bible, reading the Bible, and praying from almost like an investigative, relational way. So it's reading the Bible and, you know, with the view that, look, I really want to know you, God. I really want to know you, Christ. So it's not reading the Bible from a point of knowledge, which is not bad, which is good. It's not reading the Bible so you can give all the stats of the Bible. I know where Jesus was born. I know where he was crucified. I know the names of the 12 disciples. That knowledge is good. And, you know, we should know all those things if we can. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reading the Bible. And when you see Christ behaving in a particular way, or there's a story about Christ, you're like, I wonder why Christ responded to that person that way. I wonder what was going through the mind of Christ when that person asked him that question. I wonder why Jesus was unhappy in this context when those people were asking him that question. Wow, Jesus wept in this circumstance. Wow, he must have been really, really touched. That means he really, really liked this Lazarus chap. He really felt for him. Wow. When his disciples came to him and they were asking him questions, and he answered them in this particular way. Why did he do that? When Jesus was sleeping and the ocean was like tumbling with water entering the boat, and he was asleep, his disciples were panicking. Wow, I wonder why Jesus wasn't panicking. When he stood up, what was going through the mind? So what I'm just trying to demonstrate here is reading the Bible as if we actually have Jesus in front of us, asking him the questions. Why did you respond this way? Thinking about why he did what he did. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're reading the Bible with our heart. So it's no longer, I need to finish 2 chapters today. You know, read the Bible in 1 year. I've done chapter 1, chapter 2 today. Whew. Wow, that's my bit done. All right, next. Tomorrow. I'm not talking about that. You can do that. That's fine. But I'm talking about what Jesus says here. He says, let him come after me. So it's coming after Christ, reading the Bible with a heart of wanting to know him, praying to him, praying to God, and asking God, God, open my heart. I really want to know you. Besides, I spoke to you about this last week, about this thing, and I haven't heard anything from you. What's really good? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just, you know, reciting our prayers, which we can if we wanted to. Our Father who art in heaven, we can do that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really talking to God as a person. You know what I mean? So we're looking at living out authentic faith. So the first thing is, we said there's desire to come after Christ. And I've explained how desire we can, you know, begin to find that desire, even if it's not there. Second, we've looked at coming after me, the second phrase. And I've said coming after Christ is searching for Christ, spending time apart, deliberately to spend time with God. Now, the last phrase that we want to look at tonight in this phrase is, it says something here. It says, let him deny himself. So remember, we're looking at Matthew chapter 16, 24. And we said that, then reading out that passage again, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So we've looked at desire. What does that look like? We've looked at coming after Christ. Now we're looking at let him deny himself. That's the third phrase that we're going to look at tonight. Then we'll stop. Let him deny himself. So Jesus is saying something here. He's saying, okay, look, Let's assume that you desire to come after me. You're really excited. You're thinking about me. And you're really spending time. You really want to know me. Fantastic. I really appreciate that. But there's also something that you need to embrace, and that is denying yourself. So I was just wondering, denying myself, what does that mean? That's proper old King James English. What does it mean, deny myself? I mean, anyway, I'm just going to try and explain what this means in this context. Now, what I put in this context is this. I've said, so this is Pastor B's context and definition. I've said, denying oneself is refusing to put personal aspirations or desires above God's plan for you, even if it seems unpalatable. Let me repeat. Refusing to put one's personal aspirations or desires above God's plan for you, even if God's plan for you seems unpalatable. Now, I'm going to read a portion of scripture here, and that's from Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. This was Jesus, and he was about to go to the cross. And this was why Jesus came to the earth, to go to the cross, to die for our sins, so that you and I can enjoy the life that we are actually enjoying at the moment. So Jesus came to die for the sins of mankind. That was his mission, to reconcile us back to God. Now, when it was nearing the time for Jesus to go to the cross, let me read Matthew 26:39. He says, going a little further, talking about Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So we're looking at denying himself, that phrase that we saw in Matthew chapter 16. So we see a very good analogy of what it means to deny oneself. Now, in this context, Jesus looked at the will of God and he knew that that was why he came. But when he thought about bearing sin in himself, it was like really, really uncomfortable for him. And he said, God, is there another way to go about this? But he said, no, not my will, but yours. So what this means is this. We need to begin to drop our opinions that do not match up with God's opinions about ourselves and about other people. There are certain things that we might want to do. There are certain opinions that we have that seem a bit justified. But in the context and in the view of the Bible, God wants us to make a decision not to override what he says concerning those things. For example, God says that we should forgive one another. So your opinion, my opinion, or my first thought is, this person has actually wronged me terribly. Maybe they have, and you're finding it really difficult to forgive them. And it's like, look, you can count all the things. They've hurt you, they've done this, they've been very, and all the facts are right before you. They have actually done everything you say they've done. But Jesus says we should forgive one another. Now, the dilemma now comes to say, okay, am I going to deny myself in this context? Denying myself in this context is agreeing to forgive that person despite my strong opinion that really, I really don't want to forgive them. So denying ourselves is not an easy thing. But Jesus begins to say something in Matthew chapter 16 that we read. He says, look, if anyone desires to follow me, you're excited about following me, you think about me all the time, let him Well, if anyone desires to come after me, so you desire God, you love God, you're always thinking about God, you're excited, you set time apart to spend with God. God now says, look, hang on, one more thing, one more step to take, step by step, deny yourself. Now, what that means is Jesus is saying here, there are things that I know are good for you. You might not really see the big picture of what I'm saying. But the big picture is this: you need to embrace the things I'm telling you to do. You need to embrace, in this instance, forgiveness, even though it doesn't make sense. You need to embrace just not going into that relationship with that person because it's going to get you in trouble. Do you understand? Even though you like that person, God is saying, look, you need to deny yourself. Why? Because as you deny yourself, as you set time apart, as you do these things, and I use that word do, as you go in that direction, something begins to happen in your life as a believer. A change begins to occur. And it is that change that begins to occur inside of you that begins to bring about the living of that authentic Christian faith. So remember that I said that we do not, it is not living authentically or living an authentic life is not you trying to live that life. No, it's you following Christ in the way that he has prescribed. It's me following Christ that does it to us. That's what gets the job done. Because as we do that, the Holy Spirit begins to work in us. Christ begins to work in us to the point that we become more and more like Christ. So as you deny yourself and you take up the ways of Christ, I mean, Christ was going to the cross. People were spitting at him, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And his response was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, come on, that is, if it were me, what would I do? As we deny ourselves, as we spend time with God, as we allow ourselves to really desire God, we become, like the Bible says, transformed into the image of Christ, like one beholding a mirror. We become like him day by day. And as we become like Christ, that authentic life begins to shine through us. And people can see us and say, hang on, there's something different about this person. And you probably might not notice what that thing is, but this is what is happening. You and I, as we go through this, we're becoming more like Christ. And it is the life of Christ shining through you and I that makes that authentic Christian life work itself out in us. Amen. I'm going to stop here tonight. Otherwise, I'm going to become just too excited and I might not stop. So tonight, I'm going to stop. So we've looked at the first part of living out authentic faith. We looked at three things, all from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. We looked at desire, coming after Christ, and denying ourselves. We're going to stop tonight, and I'll pray.